This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Throughout this week, we've actually been exploring different issues to do with SMEs. Yesterday, we spoke about foreign labour. If you missed that segment, you can download the podcast by searching for the title 101 SME and Labour.
Today, we're dedicating our segment to failure, specifically how entrepreneurs deal with failure and the lessons they've learned from those experiences. We're going to now hear from Lim Jun Yuan. Years ago, he had co-founded two ventures. The first was Hungry Hippie, which was an online platform allowing local people to host travelers from around the world. The second was Crowd Cities, which was a crowdfunding platform for urban development project initiatives. Both didn't quite take off.
And then back in 2011, he co-founded Mossery, the stationery brand, together with Vivian Lowe. Now, Mossery is sold locally and abroad, including in countries like Australia, Canada and Germany. And he is with us on the line right now. Jun, thank you for joining us. How did you make the decision each time, whether it was with Hungry Hippie or Crowd Cities, that, you know, it's time to move on?
So the default of a startup is to die. So if we got to know like how is our rocket ship is going to escape gravity. So we felt that we didn't have the right business model in time, and hence we couldn't measure the unit economics. And also after laying down our plans and the amount of effort required to get it to cruising altitude is really large. So we decided to kind of shelve it and perhaps find a better time.
You mentioned that the default of a startup is to die. Have you carried this mindset all along?
To be honest, not really. I kind of understood this quite later on, whereas like we didn't know we were dying. So, and hence like the whole process was really blurry and like we're not sure when to shelve it or when to not. So if that time, we couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so we just shelved it.
So what was it that kept you going or, you know, brought you back after your first and second ventures?
I think you got to understand your luck. I think I was kind of lucky because I had a little bit of design background and a little bit of experience in technology, a little bit of business experience, and hence I could confidently pursue it. To me, it wasn't so much of a struggle, and I was counting my lucky stars because I was staying at my parents' home, and I could live off without rent, and I could have that space and time to understand and learn about the business, and also to slowly build them. So, for example, early days of Mossery, we're just like earning like perhaps like 500 ringgit a month, and then that was decent, that was okay, and it's really important to understand how to start off and kind of give yourself some time for it to take off.
What are the key lessons you learned from Hungry Hippie and Crowd Cities, which you've implemented in Mossery?
So both Hungry Hippie and Crowd Cities are both platforms. So there are marketplaces where I learned that, you know, you got to have enough hosts to attract travelers or enough urban projects to attract citizens to participate. So striking the equilibrium was always a challenge. And at Mossery, building a brand from scratch requires a community of initial advocates. And the way we kind of did or made it through was to make ourselves the advocates. And by designing a product for ourselves and for our initial users, so that was important to kickstart the brand. And our main lesson is designing a product for ourselves. If we can satisfy ourselves, we can find like-minded users.
So now that you've had experience starting, ending and running a successful enterprise, how would you reflect on your entire experience with failure?
I wouldn't have been able to understand how to run a business without failing in my first two startups. Because I had to learn how to crawl and walk before I can run. And I always believe that failure is kind of like a part of the entrepreneur's journey. Without failing, you won't be able to learn. And I guess the challenge is always how do we accumulate our experience and turn them into a guide for your instinct and your tactics that will continue to help us improve and make better decisions.
What would you say to entrepreneurs who are either thinking of starting a business or ending one?
I would say running a business or a startup for a year is kind of equivalent to working at a normal job for 3 years. It's going to be intense, but it's going to be worth it because it allows you to see things differently in life. So really take it as a learning experience. Don't beat yourself too hard if you fail. And if you succeed, you will still fail. and most importantly, if you succeed, you really need to understand why you're successful. And lastly, I guess don't forget to ask for help, because running a business can be tough, and experienced entrepreneurs know this. And actually, there's a culture of paying it forward where entrepreneurs will really help one another. And you'll be surprised by how much people are willing to send help your way.
Jun, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Lim Jun Yuan, co-founder of Mossery. We're going to be hearing from Hui Matthews after this, founder of Ashby Nimble. We're talking about the experience of failure and how that helps to shape your approach towards entrepreneurship. This is, of course, part of our week-long exploration of SMEs. If you have any experience with the matter, if you have any thoughts on failure and how it can actually help just kind of make you a better person, especially when it comes to business, do let us know. You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
7:18 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin. We are concluding our week-long 101 on SMEs, just all the things it takes to run them. We've done issues such as financing, the business environment, labor, foreign and otherwise. Yep. And now we're finally focusing on the subject of failure and how that can inform everything that comes after it. Earlier, we heard from Lim Jun Yuan, who is the co-founder of Mossery. And our next guest is Hui Matthews, founder of Ashby Nimble. Hui started the brand back in 2014 after realizing that there was a gap in the market for affordable options in activewear at the time. The brand grew quickly within the year, but over the next years, it met a set of challenges which led Hui to decide that perhaps it was time to switch directions.
So in late 2017, Hui announced on Ashby Nimble's website that they were terminating the apparel business. She shared some of the key lessons she had learned, which gained attention across several platforms for the honest way in which she discussed the matter. Since then, Ashby Nimble has grown into an online journal and guide covering topics about sports and fitness.
Hui is on the line with us right now. Hui, thank you so much for joining us. So it's been more than a year since you decided to take a different tack with Ashby Nimble. What was the point that led you to make that decision?
Okay, so when I started Ashby Nimble, it was about making affordable sportswear. Second reason was to see if I could start an online business that would be able to supplement sort of, you know, 50 to 70% of my income, so that I'd be able to have more time and flexibility for family. And I guess after 3 to 4 years, we were able to validate that with increasing material costs, and also a lot more competition that were driving down prices with the likes of Uniqlo and H&M and a lot of fast fashion brands introducing their own sportswear lines, and the introduction of players like Decathlon, we decided that the margins weren't working out in the way that we wanted to. So I decided that, you know, if what I set out to do was not achieved, then it's probably time to you know, face the hard numbers, and knowing where the retail industry was heading to, which it's been pretty tough for retailers all around. We decided that it wasn't a viable business to do anymore.
Were your friends and family supportive of your decision at the time?
Yes, you know, I've been very lucky. When we started, after sort of 1 or 2 years, some friends and family approached to help us with a bit of capital to grow the business even further. In saying that, you know, we've really bootstrapped right from the start, and they were also very supportive when we wanted to close down and not sort of bleed any more money into the business. And I mean, but it has been difficult, you know, having those conversations and still having those conversations to explain and to update on what had happened and winding down the business.
And as part of having those conversations, which I'm sorry we're forcing you to do, how would you say the whole experience has shaped you till today?
Definitely realizing that for many people who start businesses, you are very, very clueless and you will make a lot of mistakes. But overall, it was a very enlightening experience. I have so much more respect for people who start businesses, but not only start them, but continue in them and grow at a sustainable pace and turn their ideas into profitable, cash-generating businesses. I definitely learned so much about brand building and running an online business. Previously, I was in consulting and you deal with a lot of very abstract concepts and large-scale projects, but very rarely you get to get your hands dirty in the operational side of things. And I thoroughly enjoyed the learning side. I really enjoyed meeting the people that I did from, you know, the startup community. But most of all, I really enjoyed seeing the fitness industry grow in Malaysia. There's so many more players now. There's so many more fitness events, and right now I'm working in Maxis in the e-commerce division, and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my experiences doing what I did with my own business. So definitely one of the best and probably hardest experiences in my working life. But I'm really glad I did it, and I have no regrets.
Do you plan to start a new business again sometime in the future?
In hindsight now, now that I have two young kids, I would probably join someone who is starting something, or perhaps even join a slightly more established startup or someone or a business that's already been set up. Because when you start your own business, you do end up spending more than half your time dealing with, you know, the administrative side of things, looking at funding, looking at financing, dealing with HR, accounting, and you don't get to spend all of your time focusing on product creation, branding, and marketing. So that's what I would do differently if I were to join another business.
Right. And yesterday was World SME Day. What would you say to entrepreneurs who are either thinking of changing directions with their business or even ending it?
I would say be very clear on your objectives from day one. If you are starting a business to sell, or are you starting it to go for IPO, or are you starting it just to have a nice, small, sustainable business on the side, you need to ask yourself what you want. And reevaluate every couple of months, every year, where you want to go, and don't get carried away by the startup hype, but also recognize when you do need funding or capital to help spur your growth.
And on the other hand, what would you say to a budding entrepreneur?
I would say go for it. You know, I learned so much from my experience. I've met amazing entrepreneurs whom I still keep in touch with, and some are very good friends now. You know, I think the people side of it is the most rewarding part, and you would not get those sorts of connections from working in employment.
Hui, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Hui Matthews, founder of Ashby Nimble. She also spoke with Frida Liu on her Vantage back in 2017 when Ashby Nimble first ended its apparel business. And you can download that podcast on Spotify or the BFM app by searching for the title Staying Nimble Year End Special. And that's it for our week-long look at SMEs. If you've missed any part of it, you can look it up. We have a little 101 segment on our website that includes what we've done in the past as well. In the meantime, we are headed to some music. Here is John Lennon with Imagine, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.